would you like to be able to create an eight-figure brand? Phil Masiello will tell us how. He is a four-times exit entrepreneur, three-times best-selling author, host of the popular show Crunching Growth on E360 TV, bringing over two decades of proven experience in e-commerce, digital marketing, and disruptive brand building. And as the founder of Crunch Growth Revenue Acceleration Agency, Phil strategically guides consumer-focused startups and brands to achieve rapid, sustainable growth by harnessing innovative digital strategies, powerful storytelling, and deep consumer insights. So Phil, tell us, how can entrepreneurs create an eight-figure e-commerce brand?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first thing that always comes to mind, or not always comes to mind, but the first rule is you have to have something that's different. You're not going to get very far if you're just selling the same old, right? If you just take another product, and this is the problem, I think, with sellers and the seller mentality versus the brand building mentality. Sellers just try and find products that they think they can sell and make money at. But it's tough to get to eight figures when you're doing that. You have to have a lot of products to do it. But if you're building a brand and you connect with your customers, that's with your point of difference, that's what's going to drive your sales.
Thank you. Tell us, what's your blueprint for an entrepreneur to build the brand so that they can reach eight figures as an e-commerce brand?
Yeah, I think that a lot of times entrepreneurs rely too heavily on advertising and just pushing promotions. And in today's world, you can't do it. You've got to use social media. You've got to use short form video, long form video. You've got to connect with your customer by giving them the reason why they need to buy your product. And you have to get, that's sort of the foundation for how you go about all your messaging. And so you've constantly got to look for understanding who your customer is, where your customer is, and push your message, which is one of difference, and telling them why they should buy your product, and not about the features of your product. Too many times entrepreneurs focus too much on the features of their products. People don't care about that. They want to know what it's going to do for them. They want the benefit. If I use your product, what's it going to do for me? So why should I buy your product, and how is it going to enhance my life?
Thank you. Give us an example of a product that you have made successful, or a brand, an e-commerce brand that you have made successful, and give us an example of the why. And what was the why that customers connected with emotionally, and why did that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So early on, we launched a beauty line with a woman named Carol Alt. She was a model, and we did it on the shopping channels first here in Canada and some other places. And the reason that was beneficial was because you got to tell the story. Carol got to get in front of an audience and tell the story visually. And the point of the product was that it was raw. It fit into her lifestyle of the raw lifestyle, which is not processed. Because if you have skincare and you're making creams and things, they always heat and emulsify the product. So what we were saying was, look, this is just as found in nature. These products are just found as found in nature, and you're applying them to your face. So the benefit to that is it's going to enhance your skin. You're going to, reduce your fine lines and wrinkles. You're going to look and feel younger, all those pieces. So that's emotionally connecting when you start talking about skincare. Now, today we hear that all the time, but when we first started back in the early 2000s, people weren't talking about that as much, natural and organic, straight from nature, and things not processed. So we were innovative at that point in time. And Carol was talking to women about how this is going to benefit them. And it connected with them, again, using video. The benefit was, Carol was sitting there showing them, hey, this is what it's happening on my face. And then we had models that we were showing, and before and afters that we were showing the results, so women could see see the results. They could feel the results. And then once you start selling and people start giving you social proof, they start talking about how great the product is, then it just explodes from there. Then we wound up building, going into Ulta Beauty and beauty stores, Sephora, things like that. And then once we did that, we just started expanding the brand. So,
thank you. Tell us why did that work? Like, what would you say was the core reason why you feel that that message resonated so much with customers? Is that because of a general trend of people becoming more aware of how important it is to have more natural products?
Yeah, at that time, you have to remember, you know, early 2000s, there weren't a lot of really good effective, which is the key word, effective beauty products that were natural. And so women were looking for something because they understood there were a lot of reports that came out, and they understood that there were a lot of chemicals in their skincare and their beauty products that they didn't want. And they were looking for alternatives. But at the end of the day, women want results. And so if you have a beauty product and you're not getting results and you're saying it's natural, it's not going to resonate very well, right? Customers aren't going to buy it. So with this particular product, we could show results. People could feel results. We got social proof from results. And so once that happened, then women definitely gravitated towards it, but they were looking for something different because, again, they understood the problems with skincare and beauty products and the ingredients within.
Thank you. Tell us your top 10 commandments for building an 8-figure e-commerce brand, and where would an entrepreneur get started?
Yeah, the first thing is to know your customer deeply. You have to build a customer persona on who you're going after. In the beginning, entrepreneurs, when you're first starting up, you don't really know who your customer is. You think you do. You have an idea of who you're going after, and that's fine. And you start with that, but you have to know who that customer is deeply, where they are, what message is going to resonate. Then you always want to innovate and be different, because if you're not different, then you're going to struggle, because then you're just a me-too product. You're going to struggle trying to get your products into retail. You're going to struggle on e-commerce. And then you want to leverage the power of storytelling. You always want to be able to tell the story of why people should buy your product. What's the benefit to them? Understand, they're looking for the benefit to them, not the benefit to you. Right? The benefit to you is they're going to buy your product. The benefit to them is what the product is going to do for them. Then master the digital marketplace, because today what people do is they search, they search for information, they search online, and with the ChatGPT, they're searching even deeper. So you want to master the digital marketplace and understand who your customer is, where they're going, what they're looking at. You want to make sure you test, you measure, you optimize, and you repeat. Nothing is ever perfect the minute you walk out the door. Entrepreneurs think that they have to build the absolute perfect product and perfect website and the perfect message. You don't. You go out there with your minimum viable product, you test it, you make sure you get customer feedback, you optimize it, and then you continue to repeat that. But again, you want to focus, the next part is to focus on the total customer experience from the time the customer orders to the time they get the product to after they get the product. You want to make sure that you're still communicating with these people and make sure that you understand what problems they have or if they have complaints. If they have complaints, you want to get to the bottom of what those complaints are and make sure that you fix it. The other piece that's important is you have to build a team that's ready to scale. A lot of times you get people involved in your company and they can get you from a certain point to another point, but they can't get you to scale. And you want to make sure that you're building the right team. The other thing is never fear failure. You have to learn from failure. You're going to have failure all along the way. You may even fail with the total business, but you have to learn from failure. You can't be afraid of it as an entrepreneur. And too many times people get to a point where things get hard and they walk away, or they hit that wall and they stop. And that's never a good thing. The other piece is to stay agile and adaptable, because the market's going to change. The customer preferences are going to change. Your product may change. Look at how fast AI is changing things. So you want to make sure that you're agile and adaptable. And the other piece is today's consumer wants authenticity. So you want to lead with authenticity. Mm-hmm. don't want to be out there just pushing ads and pushing discounts and things. You want to tell them and explain to them and explain to them why they want to buy your product, but you want to do it in an authentic way. And they're looking for an understanding of who they're buying their product from. They don't want to just give their money to anybody. So you have to make sure that you're out there as the founder, explaining to people why they want your product. So those are my Ten Commandments.
Thank you. What would you say is the difference between an eight-figure e-commerce brand and an e-commerce brand that doesn't make it? Because sometimes consumer sentiment on social media can go terribly wrong really quickly based on what you post, sometimes being misinterpreted. And I actually saw this mini interview with this guy who was a billionaire in the UK, and he made this joke, and a few months later, he lost absolutely everything because of a joke he made at a conference about people, buying his product and his, products being crap, basically, which is something he was joking about. So I'm wondering, how can someone correctly manage their brand on social media and in other avenues like TV? And how can someone correctly manage video shopping so that they can build an eight-figure e-commerce business quickly?
Well, there's a couple of different things what you were talking about. One is your how you're perceived in the marketplace, and if you do something silly like denigrate your product, you're essentially denigrating the people who have bought your product, and that's never ever good. You always want to have respect for your customers and who's buying your product. But the key, when I see people fail or when I see people stumble, it generally has to do with one, the product is not different enough. They think they have a different product, but really it's the same product repackaged. Maybe they're trying to say the quality is better, and that's a tough road. So you're never going to get to eight figures if you don't have a product that's truly different and unique. The second thing is the other problem that I always see is people deviate from their messaging, and you always want to stick to your messaging. You can evolve your messaging, but if you have a product and you're different and you've created this messaging and you've created this way to talk to people, then you have to stick with that. Don't deviate from the path. This person that you referred to deviated from the path and started trying to be funny, and that's okay, but don't denigrate your product and don't denigrate your customers. Stick to your customers, stick to your knitting.
Thank you. Tell us some of the successes that you've had with 800 Razors and Raw Essentials Skincare or other companies that you've scaled, and why did they become so successful?
So I'm going to take a step back. The first business I ever started, I started when I was 27, and it was a total failure. It was just a disaster. I did it. It was a failure of leadership, failure of process management. But I took that knowledge, and it was a retail store, and it was in the specialty food world. Took that knowledge of how I failed, and I got involved with a specialty food chain in Washington, D.C. They only had two stores at the time. I got involved as a principal and investor, and we grew that to about 12 stores. And there I took all the mistakes I made, and I used that to grow that business. After we exited that, I started another one, another small retail chain of grab-and-go meal stores, and that one did quite well. We exited to a major supermarket chain that bought us. And again, I took all the learning, which was, keep focused on the customer, manage and lead people. You manage process, but you lead people. You don't manage people. And you have to set up the processes by which to scale. Because if you're in there, the mistake I made in my first business was I tried to do everything myself, and I thought that that's what entrepreneurship was, and it's not. Entrepreneurship is seeing the big picture of laying out the path to where they're getting there, making sure that everybody is being led down that path. And so we've used that same principle everywhere. Make sure that you have something that's different, which we did. We had specialty food stores, then we had grab-and-go meal stores. There were nothing like that. With Raw Essentials, there was no competitors out there doing what we were doing, and so we were able to take the team and lead them and say, this is where we're trying to get to. Everybody's on the same page. We're all working towards it. We're not deviating from it. Entrepreneurs sometimes, and I'm guilty of it myself, of being opportunistic, where you see another bright, shiny thing and you go, I might want to head down that path. You can't do that to yourself. You have to stay focused on where the end goal is. Stop chasing bright, shiny things. So those were really the keys, were leadership, process management, setting up the processes to scale, because scaling doesn't happen by accident. Scaling happens with a plan. And you have to build that plan, get everybody on board to that plan, and march to it.
Thank you. What's the difference between, for example, companies that are doing apparently all the right things? Like they're doing shorts, they're doing reels, they're present on social media, they're talking about their product, and somehow they're not getting through. They're not getting like a proper emotional connection with their audience, so much so that the audience feels like they really desire to buy. For example, I'm shocked that, people queue to, I don't know, get, I don't know, an iPhone or whenever they, they do these kind of launches for certain products, like even dresses, like that you would queue for a few hours just so you can be the very first one to buy something, and you would like wait for, I don't know, like a whole day, and you would be in the queue for like so many hours doing that. It shocks me to this to the core. And I'm not sure that I would do that for like anything. And yet there are people who are like so in love with a certain product that they would do that. So I'm wondering, what do businesses that achieve that kind of result? And I've seen even like young people, like I've seen like 30-year-olds launching these dresses that sell out, and I'm not sure if they're making eight figures, but definitely really successful in like 1 year, with a crazily, not crazily, but a highly engaged audience that is like so in love with the product that they're willing to queue for hours. And I find that really, really amazing. What do you think companies do that manage to achieve this kind of result?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's two different pieces to it. There's the Apple piece, which is the iPhone, and that's long term. People get attached to their phone, they get attached to the iPhone, they want a new one whenever it comes out, or maybe every couple of years. And that is a link to directly to Steve Jobs. People were enamored with Steve Jobs. You look at Glossier, the makeup company, right? She started that as a blogger. She was giving advice. People attached to her, to the founder. And then once she launched her product, they love her 90% of the time. And this is what I said before about why you want to lead with authenticity. She developed a relationship with, I think the number is 1 million. She had 1 million followers on her blog before she even launched her first product. So they were attached to her personality. Same thing with designers. People get attached to the personality today, and that's really what you want. You look at what happened with Tesla. People were buying Teslas not because they were good-looking cars, because they're ugly. They got attached to the technology. Yeah, the technology is good, but they were buying them because of this whole Elon Musk phenomenon. And then the minute that fell apart, all of a sudden Teslas are out of fashion. Nobody wants them. So this whole person, this cult of personality that we have today, is really important. You start looking at some of the brands that have launched in the last 10 years that have scaled to $1 billion, there's always a personality behind it that have been out there talking about the product, talking about their brand, why their brand is different, and connecting with the customers. People connect with people. And that's why social media is so important. Tide could come out with a new product and maybe you'll get people to buy it, but nobody's connecting with Tide. Nobody can connect with Procter and Gamble. There's no personality there. And the under 45 group of people who are now the core consumers, they want to connect. They want to understand who they're buying their product from, why they're buying it, and what the message is. And once they make that connection, then it's up to you to mess it up.
Thank you. How does an entrepreneur correctly assess the kind of market they want to reach based on their authentic personality? And how do they authentically communicate that brand message? Because I think there's eight types of brand archetypes. And how do people kind of correctly assess their own brand archetype? And then how do they correctly communicate that brand message to that specific market that they want to reach? So, for example, like I'm very fun, okay, but you wouldn't know that from this interview because I've, been very serious. And I'm still kind of like struggling to correctly show that in social media in a way that it doesn't come across as, my show being like a just like a comedy show. Like, I don't want it to be like a comedy show, but I like to kind of show that I am a fun person. I enjoy having fun as part of what I do. And, but I don't want people to like make fun of the actual, you know, like the entire thing that I'm building here. So how does someone correctly target that ideal market that they want to target? And how do they correctly have that brand messaging for that market?
So there's two different pieces in there. The first is, how do I target a market? But you have to go with your passion. Something that you're passionate about is going to lead you into a market. So for example, a guy who's working out in the gym and working on his body and doing you know, running races and things like that, he may come up, he may be thinking, man, I see a gap in the market. I really wish I had X product, right? So that's sort of how you come up with what market you're going to target. It really comes from your passion. If you're not passionate about your business, if you're not passionate about the product, if you're just sitting in your house going, I need to come up with a product, and you try and come up with a product, 90% of the time you're going to fail because you're not passionate about that product. You're just looking for a product to sell. And sellers don't last. Brands last, and brands come from passion. But the second part of the equation, how do I communicate and how do I get my brand message? That goes back to what I said in my 10 commandments, which is you have to know who your customer is, and then you have to know where they are, and you have to understand how they communicate. So for example, I'll give you a great example. I don't know if you're familiar with Manscaped, but Manscaped launched, I think, 2016, somewhere around there. And they launched with the minimum viable product, and they came out with, cheeky points and the way that they were making statements about what their product does, right? But their product was focused on men's grooming, but not the face, but other parts of the body. And nobody had ever done that before. And so, of course, you have to figure out cheeky ways to make those statements. And you know, the first year or two, they were just testing. They were testing their messages and things. Then they got involved with the UFC, and that gave them MMA and UFC. That gave them sort of a license to be a little bit more cheeky with their messaging. And because it was primarily focused on guys, so they could play that sort of real edgy messaging, which resonated with that market. It's not going to resonate with everybody, but it's going to resonate with that market. So they really understood the target market that they were going after and how those people spoke and the messaging that will resonate with them. And so that's how they did it. They came out with a product that was completely different. They saw a market. They liked to be grooming, but they realized that there was a gap in certain areas of the grooming of your wasn't really addressed, and they addressed it. And then they understood their customer, so they came out with that messaging. But they tested it. They made sure that it resonated, and then they went with it.
Thank you.
And now they're a billion-dollar company.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
They can connect with me on LinkedIn. They can go to phil@philmasiello.com. They could go to phil@crunchgrowth.com. Both of those are my email addresses. You can go to Crunch Growth. You can go to philmasiello.com, either one of those websites. I have books for sale on amazon.com. They can get me on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.